Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you today?
I'm good. I've got a caramel macchiato Starbucks coffee drink, trying to one-up Chris Broad on his coffee consumption. I've had three coffees and I'm ready to get funky, baby!
Just this morning, I bought the most expensive coffee I've ever had, and I feel kind of sad about it. Are you familiar with the Korean pop sensation BTS?
Yes, the Bangtan Boys or something.
Yeah, I thought it meant behind the scenes. I'm not, but then I am definitely not their target market. But they brought out some cold brew coffee, right? And right. I love cold brew coffee, but it's quite hard to find in convenience stores. And I bought it without looking at the price. And then I drank it, and it was all right. And then I saw like a news story online about fans in Japan being angry that the BTS cold brew coffee is so damn expensive. And I was like, oh, right. Shit, was it? And I went back down and had a look. It was 500 yen for a BTS cold brew coffee, like $5 for a little coffee, a little kind of, it was kind of like somewhere in between a can and a bottle. A cockle,
the Bangtan Boys
like
need their
it.
Cut, mate. They need their cut. You know, if you put the Bangtan Boys on the side of the cold brew coffee, sales are going to go up, but they need their taste, baby. They need their money. They need their cash.
It's so expensive, though, Pete. I couldn't believe I bought it, and I felt pretty bad about that. So now I'm back to my Nespresso coffee. No more premium cold brew coffee for me from BTS. But on the subject of wacky food and drink this week, there was like Domino's have launched a fish and chip pizza. It's just basically fish and chips smothered
no
over
one
a pizza.
Asks for that, surely.
Well, it's like, what is it with all these like fish and chip variants? Like, remember the fish and chip Pringles last year and how dreadful they were? Like, apparently, quite good.
I never had them, but I just can't imagine. It's like congealed, fried lumps of fish and chips on top of a pizza. I mean, look, the Italians get upset about the use of pineapple most weeks. Wait until you hear that.
True.
Wait until they hear this. They're going to be fuming.
Well, not only that, but the, I think fish and chips could work, right? It's just a bit of fried fish and potato, but they've put actual lemon slices and peels of like lemon all over it, and it looks like more lemon than pizza, and this just cannot work. But
that is disgusting, absolutely foul. Quite frankly,
I can't say I'll be reaching for the phone and ordering a Domino's fish and chip pizza anytime soon. Although I imagine after giving to peer pressure and get one at some point, right? What's the point?
I mean, you'll have to do it for the gram. You'll have to do it for the show, presumably. I mean,
it's inevitable, isn't it?
I mean, fish and chip, I would say that like fish and chip is nice, but I wouldn't say it's...
fish and chip ever is been, nice.
Like, well, fish and chip is nice. Fish and chip is nice, but I can't imagine. I've never had something that was fish and chip flavoured that I haven't sort of gone, I mean, that tastes nothing like fish and chips.
It's true.
It looks disgusting. I mean, the fish and chip in question, pizza, like, you're right, there's too much lemon peel. Like, the lemon, you're going to have to fish out the lemon from underneath the congealed lumps of fish and chips. It's disgusting. Absolutely foul.
It's not ideal. And I saw somebody on Twitter complain, right? Like, oh, this is dreadful. Why would you do this? You insult my people. I think they're a British Twitter user. And they, Domino's Japan, were like, oh, we're very sorry. We think our pizza's good. We'll send you a free one. So they've been sending out free pizzas, as far as I can tell. I think they sent one to Aki, Joey's girlfriend, Aki Dearest. And
right.
Yeah, I haven't heard the review, though. So as soon as I know if it's good or not, you'll be the first to know. Right here,
Chris,
on the podcast.
Look, you are a man who values quality. As a director, you value quality. You want to provide the very best high production values you can.
True.
But fundamentally, I think we all know what we want on your channel very soon. Just get yourself down, Pete. What time is it in Sendai? What time is it now?
17 minutes right. Past 7 p.m.
You could film a video that will gross over 1 million views very, very easily, if not more. Get it ordered now, get it delivered, and do a bit of filming, mate. Easy peasy. I can be your manager.
I'm above that, Pete.
If you don't do it, they'll all be doing it. All your little J-Vlog buddies, they're all going to be doing it.
My J-Vlog buddies. My Kit Kat and fish and chip days behind me, trying weird British foods and snacks. I think I'll be on that. I might be on that. I'm not be on that.
Why would you be on that? Why would you do that to yourself?
Moving on from fish and chip pizza, we've got a story this week from Andrew. It begins, Ooh. Hey, Chris and Pete, my name's Andrew from Arizona. Very nice. Chris, I was just listening to the episode where you talked about Japanese people randomly asking you your thoughts and feelings on something on a given event. And I wanted to share my PTSD-induced nightmare that can only be known as kansou. So kansou kind of means like concluding thoughts or like wrapping up thoughts. And so when you go to like a work party in Japan, often your Japanese colleagues, because you're the foreigner, they're like, oh, go on, Chris, you do the kansou. You give your thoughts on how this went. And then you have to stand there awkwardly and be like, oh, yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Sitting in a room, getting drunk and talking. This is really fun. I'm glad we did this. And that is the sort of crap you have to do. But continuing Andrew's story, now you know the context of kansou. A few years ago, I was studying at the Fukuoka Kyokudai Daigaku when the local government reached out and asked if we wanted to participate Katsuo Shuzo Sake Festival. Oh, that could be good. Even though my Japanese was subpar, I was more than eager to accept, though it was a decision that I soon regretted. On the day of the festival, four of my classmates and myself were dressed as samurai and hurried into the parade with no explanation. We wrangled in praise from locals and waved around our plastic katanas. Before I knew it, we were approaching what I assumed was the end of the parade. However, it turned out to be the halfway point where all the participants were shuffled in a square with numerous TV cameras set up. My classmates and myself were lined up in front of the rest of the participants, and from what I could gather, the announcer started introducing the various groups and people that were participating in the parade. The horror of the situation didn't set in until I heard my name and kansou in the same sentence. I panicked. I didn't know what kansou meant. I turned to my classmates to ask, but there was no time. Before I knew it, there was a microphone thrust into my hand, and I was pushed on stage, and the sea of people and cameras focused in on what I had to say. I didn't know what to do. There must have been an entire minute of silence before a classmate yelled from the back, "Tell them what you think about the festival." I was in shock and unable to act. Words escaped me and what little Japanese I knew had all but disappeared. I figured I would hit them with the self intro first. I thought, the Japanese always love a good self-intro, but I was barely able to rattle off my name. I apologised for my Japanese being bad by saying it was hitakuso. Which literally means shit. My Japanese is shit. Then, as if I were asking a question, in my highest pitched voice, I said, "Kono matsuri wa omoshiroi desu." This festival's interesting,
it's
isn't
interesting.
It?
Interesting.
It must have been the quietest place on earth. There were several seconds of agonizing silence before the microphone was then just quietly removed from my hand and I was asked to go and join my classmates once again. My classmates later informed me that I basically said my Japanese was shit on national television. I've done many kansou since then, but none were ever as bad as that one. As a general rule of thumb, I now always have something generic prepared just in case there is ever another surprise kansou. Anyway, I love the podcast. Keep up, guys. All the best. Andrew. Kansou Andrew.
Andrew, you dirty, foul-mouthed freakazoid. I love it. Very enjoyable.
I mean, swearing in Japan, you just don't really hear it that much.
You certainly don't hear it on the television. It reminds me of when, like, Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool manager, he every now and again says shit and fuck on television because he forgets where he is and he forgets that it's a bad word in English. That's always enjoyable. But if you do it with charm, you do it with a smile on your face, it'd be fine.
Absolutely. I mean, I hate these situations because I've obviously done it a lot over the years. And or whenever there's like a TV crew around, they'll come and harass me. Like I did a tour guide trip thing over Sendai a few years ago with some Japanese folks and some other foreigners. And we had to sort of go to these locations and comment on what we thought of a statue and what we thought of a field. And the TV crew came along and like asked me my thoughts. We went to Sendai Castle, and Sendai Castle is not a castle. It's just ruins. It's just like some bricks. Right. And they came and interviewed me and they were like, Chris-san, what do you think of Sendai Castle? And I went...
He says, rubbish.
I literally said, like, Castle Shiro. Shiro, right? I said, like, Shiro doko da? Where's the fucking castle? Like, that was my thought. Like, where's the fucking castle? And so just a clip of me going, Shiro doko da? And then I remember later that evening, I was with some Japanese friends in, like, a bar in Sendai. The TV came on. And it was like, we went with some foreigners around Sendai. And it's just me going, Shiro doko da? And looking really angry. That was like the resounding clip from that segment. So there you go.
I speaking of being spotted on television, I received a text from one of my bezzies saying, why is Chris Broad on Amazon Prime doing documentary?
Not again.
It's coming, mate. It's been served up to people.
Why is it still a thing?
Yes.
Have you watched it yet?
God, no. You've already warned me off. It said it's terrible. He said it's awful.
No,
I'm
going to
watch
best,
something that's awful. Oh,
it's the best documentary about cats you'll ever watch. Sit down with your love of your life on the sofa. Do you like cats, Pete? You a cat man?
No, cut me arse.
Watch it anyway. It's watch it. Just watch it. I did that documentary, didn't I? Cat Nation, back in 2016. And I thought, oh, you know, the documentary, it'll happen, then everyone will forget about it. And I wasn't very good at it. Because I'm not that enthusiastic about cats, and you can tell that in the video. And and the problem is, like, one of the hardest things as a presenter is choosing your personality, who you're going to be. And because I didn't know my audience on that documentary, I'm just really boring. So I'm like, oh, it's a cat every scene for like an hour. Oh, cats, isn't it? And then I'm a little bit sarcastic later on.
Yeah.
But then if you look at like the reviews, it's like, who's this angry British guy? He doesn't even like cats or Japan. He's racist and he's horrible. Rah. It's like, this is a disaster. Why did I agree to this? But like, it just won't die. It's just everywhere. It's on Emirates. It's on ITV. It's on like every TV show in Estonia and Poland and Mongolia. And it's just there. Why won't it go? And now it's on Amazon Prime. And Amazon must have bought it, I think, because you can stream it for free if you've got Amazon Prime.
Well, it's been delivered to people I know. I know. I realize that a lot of my friends will have the same kind of algorithmic interests as I have. But I just it's very amusing that you're getting served up like some hot soup, hot Chris Broad soup to everyone.
It's dreadful. When I have a video I don't like or that I'm not happy with, I delete it or I unlist it and then no one sees it ever again. If this was an Abroad in Japan video, it would be unlisted. It would be consigned to the archives. But clearly the guy that produced it, a really nice Australian chap called Tim, he must have done very well out of this. I remember the first few years, you know, it took him years to get this off the ground and he was, I think, a bit worried about it. But he must have sold it to everyone and their mum, given it's on planes, it's on trains, it's on like TVs and Amazon. He must have
everyone
got some pretty
cats.
Good distribution.
Everyone likes Japan. Everyone likes Chris Broad. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, they don't, do they? Go look at the reviews. We should just read through the reviews. They're really bad. It's like,
really?
This guy doesn't get cats. Yeah, it's pretty depressing.
This guy doesn't get cats.
I completely understand it. I understand it because I'm not the guy. It should be like someone who likes cats. And because I've got like a bit of a cat allergy, in every scene I'm like, very reluctant to touch the cats. Like there's a cat and I'm like, oh, it's a cat. And I like, tap it on the head and then move my hand back. And then it's just, that's the level we're talking about. So
I'm trying to find it.
Oh,
I'm trying
God.
To find it on Amazon Prime.
Continue
the show and I'll
continue the show.
Continue the show, Chris, and I'll find the reviews on it.
Why didn't we get Natsuki the movie on Amazon Prime, Pete? Why isn't Natsuki the movie on there? Why isn't any of the things I've made on Amazon Prime? How do you get on Amazon Prime?
I think you'd kind of need to explain who who Natsuki was, I think, before that actually went. So
Japan's most eccentric man. I don't know. But there you go. Cat Nation. Go and watch it on Amazon Prime. Leave a nice review, guys. Cheer me up. Cancel out those one-star reviews.
Here's a five-starer. Firstly, Chris Broad isn't a BBC presenter.
Chris Broad God damn it.
Chris Broad isn't Chris a BBC Broad. Presenter. He's far better. And I'm not sure what kind of crack some of the other people have been smoking with these reviews. Also, this isn't Hearts of Darkness. It's a documentary about cats. Get a grip, you maniacs.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now read out a bad one.
A missed opportunity to study what makes cats part of the Japanese DNA. The presenter is a British YouTuber living in Japan, and there's no shortage of those, who makes videos that look at Japanese culture. He is at best indifferent to his subject and at worst it's condescending.
I am.
That's literally your act, mate. That's literally your act. Sneering, sarcastic horse ruins it.
I'm not the man for the job.
All he does is go around looking at all the cat things in Japan and takes the piss. By the end, I'm left wondering why he made the show if he doesn't seem to like cats. Three stars because it does have cute cats.
I didn't make the show. I just turned up and looked at cats. To be fair, some of the shit we put in there is wacky. I don't know why they're trying to make it out like it's some profound, like, moving documentary. Mm. We literally went to, like, a place where you can, like, drink cat wine. It's like wine for cats.
Nobody wants
that. It just
that.
Tastes like crappy blackcurrant with laced with cyanide. And what else did we do? We went to an office where people can take their cats in. Sounds good, right? Oh, yeah, take my cat into work.
Cat office.
She's got a bloody allergy. Cat office. Brilliant. But we went in and there's just cats all over the cables munching the keyboards. Like half the equipment was broken because the cat's just eating their way through the equipment. And there's like these like half-eaten cables dangling off the back of computer screens. And it just was really impractical and not good. Like it sounds kind of cute on paper, but it was, to put it bluntly, an absolute shit show. What else did we do? We interviewed a guy who made literally billions of dollars by dressing up cats in clothes and making them look like karate masters. That was kind of cool. We went to a cat train in Wakayama, where there's like a train that looks like a cat. They spend
billions
of dollars on.
There's no train. I mean, there's no cats on the train. I imagine having cats running around on an electrified train line probably not great.
The cat not is ideal. The train. Well, to be fair, this train, right? This is mental. There's a train station in Wakayama Prefecture. It's just near Osaka, and they have a cat basically with a little station master's hat on called Tama, and that was it. And people would come from like all over Japan to see the station master cat, and it was a really bemused cat that just sits in like a box, and people were like, "Oh, Tama-chan, kawaii." And then it died.
Oh no!
And then they were like, "Oh, this cat generated literally millions of dollars for our local economy. Let's cash in on this." So they got another cat that looks similar, called it Tama-chan 2, and then built a train that looks like a cat and has an entire cat interior, and it's just. But it works. People from all over Japan come. People in Taiwan and Korea come to see the cat train station, to look at the cats. It's genius. It's absolutely genius.
Imagine if you were an unemployed person in that town. You'd be fuming.
Immigrants taking your job. Immigrants are one thing. Cats taking a job is a whole different ballgame. But I reckon this cat, Tama, before it passed away, God bless, they reckon it generated like $10-15 million for the local economy. And then there's like a gravestone for the cat in the train station as well. It's all very emotional.
That's why it got some good food before it died. I hope it got the best whatever A5 salmon is.
A5
before
salmon.
It went.
But this is the reason to watch the documentary, Pete. Have I sold it to you yet?
No, because I'm not. I like dogs. Wine. I'm a dog guy. I don't dislike cats. They don't seem to like me. Or maybe I've just not found the right cat yet.
We'll have to make a sequel, Dog Nation, where I'll go and
Dog Nation, yes, please.
He's even more condescending than last time. It's a dog, isn't it? Like, Dogs don't care. I just got back from a shoot in Akita Prefecture with Ryota, right? And we had to go and film the Akita dogs. It's quite cool. There's an Akita dog museum in the middle of nowhere, the most remote part of like North Japan. And it must be like a $20 million dog museum. It's really quite impressive. And there's dogs you can sit with and pat on the head and stuff.
There's
a big drawing of, there's a big piece of artwork with Vladimir Putin with his favourite Akita dog that was gifted to him by the mayor somewhere in Akita.
When Angela Merkel visited the Kremlin, because she's scared of dogs,
he got his
big dog out because he's such a fucking alpha. What a lad.
Yeah, I remember that video. So I think in 2011, when the earthquake happened, the disaster, Putin and Russia sort of came to Japan's aid. And to thank Putin, the mayor of a town, I think it's Odate in Akita, gifted him an Akita dog because Putin loves dogs. And Angela Merkel turned up. A shot of Angela Merkel just sitting on a chair, I think, just looking absolutely terrified as this massive Akita dog comes rolling out and like starts barking everywhere. And
pathetic. Yeah. Pathetic.
Poor old Angela Merkel. Dog Nation. Let's make it happen.
Dog Nation. Let's make it happen.
It's not really a dog nation, though, is it? So I don't know if it would work. We also went to a cat cafe, right, that serves pasta, and you can sit in this room surrounded by 25 cats and eat a pasta filled with cat hair. Is that something you're interested in?
No, I've been to a cat cafe before, and it just smelled bad. It's like, it's too warm. It's in the middle of summer, and it's just
pretty
this
grim.
Cat cafe absolutely honks.
Well, if you're not interested in cat cafes, I also, in that documentary, and this is gonna be the final piece of the puzzle to sell it to you, Pete, there's a cat bar somewhere in West Tokyo where you can sit there, have your beer, have some pretzels, and then have cats walk all over you, like a cat bar. It's just a bar with some cats in. Is that good? Is that exciting?
Reduce the amount of cats, increase the amount of booze. That's all I'm asking, all right? I want a bar that sells bar stuff, booze. Problems. I don't need solutions. I need problems.
Absolutely. Don't be ill, Pete. Oh my god. But there you go. Cat Nation, guys, check it out. This has been a massive segue. We're gonna have to abandon the news story of the week because we just talked about Cat Nation. We'll do it next week. We'll be back in a moment with the fax machine with your stories and questions.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Dawson?
Questions. A cat-related email. Hello, Chris and Pete from the Midlands of Ireland. Ireland's Midlands. My name is Frank. The thing is, I have decent-sized feet. Once again, people getting in touch with the Bronchman podcast just boasting about how blummin' huge they are. And as a man of diminutive stature, I take umbrage with that. I take a shoe size of UK 15, says Frank, which is just gigantic. I'm an 8. And like, I don't have small feet, but I'm an 8. That is ridiculous. 15. 50.5 in the EU, which means my foot is just over a foot in length. It's like a set square. What's going on there?
Sideshow Bob.
While this causes a few issues whilst buying shoes, and especially finding comfortable socks that don't shirk after a wash. As the largest shoe size that shops in Japan go up to are a men's UK 10, I can imagine this may cause some issues if they try and provide me with slippers that would probably take a few to cover a single foot of mine. I wonder, should I purchase a pair of slippers before I go over and have them with me when I go to a place that requires slippers to avoid any awkward situations when they try to find a pair that fit? Would this be an issue, or would places be all right with me using socks instead of the slippers provided? Frank O'Meara Haslam, massive bloody feet, and he's provided a picture of a little cat, one of his cats.
Oh, yeah.
Using his farm boots as a place to rest, and it looks like a sort of poster you'd see on a Forever Friends poster you'd buy in Woolworths in the 90s. It really is very cute.
Cats
indeed.
In the shoe.
But Frank's worried about getting slippers in Japan. Big problems.
I mean, this has been a nightmare for me. Frank said that the largest shoe size in Japan is UK size 10, but even there, pretty difficult to find. Like in the past, I've had to like fly home to the UK, not especially to get shoes, but like I basically, that's like top of my to-do list when I go to the UK, apart from drink cider and eat cheese. Like it's get lots of shoes and bring them back, shoe smuggling run, because you just cannot get them here and it's not fun. Size 15 though, I mean, no. That ain't going to happen. it's not happening. Should I purchase a pair of slippers before I go? Yeah, bring the slippers. Because the little slippers you get in Japanese inns and hotels certainly aren't going to fit. They're going to look like, that's going to be enough to cover one of your toes at best, Frank. So, yes, you're not in much luck, unfortunately. We've got one here from Luke. He says, hello, lads. I enjoy listening to the podcast while doing my postal delivery around rural Suffolk. That's nice. That's lovely. When visiting Japan in 2018, for 3 weeks on our honeymoon, one particular night, we were awoken by an almighty crash at the front of the place because the air conditioner had fallen and smashed into the wall by the bed. Oh. It was literally inches away from crushing my wife in her sleep. On further investigation, it was clear that the air conditioning unit had been held together by tape. In the morning, I spoke to the manager and tried to get some kind of compensation, seeing as we'd almost been maimed in our sleep, but he wasn't going to budge. Have either of you sought money back after a bad experience in Japan? Regards, Luke from Suffolk. I mean, in my first apartment in Sendai, in my apartment tour video where Natsuki's there, when he called the vacuum cleaner a fucking cleaner. Great moment. My air conditioning unit used to be above my pillow, right? And I used to feel a bit uncomfortable at night looking up over this sprawling 10-kilogram bloody air conditioning unit and thinking, what if that comes off in an earthquake? It's game over. What a terrible way to end the Abroad in Japan story. You know, head in an air conditioning unit. Have you ever tried to get money back, Pete?
No, and I've never really sort of fallen foul of an air conditioning unit. I remember in a Airbnb in Cluj, in Romania, an air conditioning unit looked like it was about to fall off. But it was the outside unit rather than the inside unit. Every time you close the door, it would sort of have a little bit of a wobble. And say, like, if that falls, that's going to fall about five floors, and it's going to smash into the floor. And those things are really heavy, crazy heavy. Those big brackets you got drill into the side of the house. Wow, it's insane. You see like those big kind of like high rises in well, anywhere really, and you have the air conditioning units outside in hotter climates. And I don't know how they don't just sort of all fall off, because they don't. the brackets don't look very thick at all, really.
I'm worried. Getting into exquisite technical details on air conditioning units in Romania.
I just worry. I just don't know why they're so. I just don't know why they're so
legitimate
small.
Concern, Pete. Legitimate
yeah,
concern.
Yeah, I'm worried.
I don't think I've ever tried to get money back on anything in Japan, to be honest.
Mm.
Because it's just effort. If I buy some, as long as it's like something not too expensive, I'm just like, I'll just put that in the bin.
Swallow that. Your mate Sean, who lives in Osaka, the teacher, he was trying to get, I think, 1,500 yen off a Suica kind of card. And he had to go to three different offices to get it changed. And he had to like write a letter and fill in forms.
Oh my
He's
God.
Just like, this is just so dull.
Well,
for 1,500 yen.
They like they want to deter you from getting your money back. Like it's just all that paperwork and stuff to go through, isn't there? And like if you deviate from the script in Japan in any scenario, it all starts to fall apart. Like if you go to like a burger restaurant and you want to make your own burger, you know, you don't want the lettuce or you don't want the onion. You want to put in a bit of cheese, and it's not like a special restaurant. They'll like, just break. The staff will just stop talking, just stand in silence until you just order something that's on the menu. You'll be like, can I just get not have the lettuce? And they were like,
I'm not sure.
And then you just have to go, oh, fuck it, I'll get the lettuce. So it's not very good at, it's not the best country for getting things done when you're going off script.
Lovely. We got a message from Nelson from Sydney. Hello, Nelson. Hello, Drip King Chris and Mr. Shibuya Donaldson. I'm Nelson from Sydney, long-time listener, big fan of the channel. Chris, I was re-listening to a podcast from January this year when you said you had plans to meet up with Rappe Konatsky once a week for language exchange and beers. I was wondering how that plan went. What pearls of wisdom did you gain or lose? Also for Pete, when Japan finally decides to let you in the country again, any chance of another live outside podcast? My mate Vish, who does Vatushina and Traja, who does the Football Ramble podcast, he's just landed at Haneda, been whisked straight to a hotel, and he's got to isolate for 3 days. He thinks may very well possibly have a little bit of freedom after the 3 days of isolation. If I was a betting man, I think he might be whistling for that personally, but hopefully he'll get to leave the house. So I'm basically sort of living vicariously through him. I've got, oh, my God, get yourself a Coolish. Oh, my God, get yourself some Okonomiyaki.
Of course you are.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, Nelson's asking whether I wanted to go up north in Chris's neck of the woods at this time. It was very enjoyable, really, listening to the last one you did, Exploring Tokyo Together. I remember it being a very, very hot day.
That wasn't fun.
Look, yeah. That was,
I hated that podcast.
You're hanging out with
that
me,
that was
mate.
The worst podcast I've ever done.
Why do you hate good times, Chris?
We started that from the Tokyo Creative Office, actually, didn't we? And then we walked through Shibuya. And then we walked to Yoyogi Park. Well, we nearly got run over like 8 times while doing this podcast. You want to go and listen to it. I think it was sometime in, when was it? It must have been like 2019. 2019. And it's just me being like, oh my God, there's a car coming. And it's just like, why are we doing this live show podcast thing in the street? It was terrible. Never
Why
again.
Why do you hate good times? Why Never do you hate again. Good times?
It was not a good time. But meet up once a week with Natsuki for language exchange and beers. It lasted for about 3 weeks, and then it just did. We just ran out of
ways. At least you did three, mate. At least you did three.
I actually forgot about that. I did want to get better at Japanese this year. It was one of those moments where, like, you start off the year really pumped up and excited. You think, yeah, this is going to be the year that I pass my N1 Japan exam and I'll be fluent and amazing. And I'll speak to Natsuki every week. We'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll speak to Natsuki. Mm. I'll learn some Japanese. And then by February, you're like, oh, I'm so busy. I can't be bothered to do anything ever again now. And that is exactly what happened. But I have seen a lot of Natsuki this year, though. To be fair, we've had a good year for Natsuki. He's been in, I think, more videos than not in this entire year. And as soon as we got the final episode of Abroad in Japan, final episode of Journey Across Japan, coming out later today, fingers crossed. And then after that, we got like another two videos with Natsuki coming out, one on a train and one on another island. So I think that's better. Rather than chatting with Natsuki over a screen, let's have Natsuki on a train and an island.
Good stuff.
And wrap
well done, mate. There Very proud of you.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into AbroadJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it over again in the next few days, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week and we'll see you all over again to do it again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Again. And watch the cat documentary. Bye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.